Moms are hardcore.
So, hello, everybody, and welcome to Moms of Flavortown. Pew, pew, pew. So Debbie, it is nice to see you today. We kind of have like a little bit of a very special episode going on.
Yeah. So my dad, passed away over the weekend. So, you know, might not be on my game, but it's also like why I've been like a little out of it for the last many episodes also. So, you know, shout out to the Dead Dad Club if you're listening, and also like I don't know, sorry for being a bummer.
First of all, you're not a bummer. Second of all, I'm glad that you wanted to like mention it, because I feel like for people that follow us, it like makes sense for you to like be honest about what you're going through. You know?
Yeah. I mean, I'm not like it's I'm realizing that the more I talk about it, the more it's like a bit of a relief. And, you know, I love yeah, I've been very lucky that like people have been checking in with me, and like, you know, people I haven't spoken to in a long time, like sharing their memories of my dad has been pretty cool. And, you know, it's just, it's been really hard, but I don't know. It's making me feel good about the way that I'm like trying to live my life right now anyway. So
I feel like I'm gonna cry, because you know you know, I love you very much. And I've like, you know, we've like become friends online and IRL, I've like experienced your village, you know.
Yeah.
And I think it's pretty cool. I was gonna say that I like, you know, I like texted you being like, oh, like no pressure, but do you want to record? Because I didn't want to like assume that you didn't want to, you know what I
right.
mean? I'm trying not to like think I like knew what you wanted or didn't want. But you know, I hope I made it clear. I wasn't like, you have to do the podcast.
No. I mean, for me right now, it's like, you know, I've kind of been like sitting around and wallowing, although like, Charlie has made it a little difficult to do that, because he ended up getting sent home early from school yesterday for pink eye, and he was home all day today too. You know, it's like this weird combination of like, you know, wanting to be a little kid again and like mourning that part of you with the fact that it's my dad. But then also, you know, like recognizing that you're a full-fledged adult and you have responsibilities. And so, you know, recording this, like, it just makes me feel better, because I get to see one of my best friends and talk to them about stuff that I love. And it, like, gives me a little bit of normalcy. When sometimes it hasn't felt very normal today. So,
well, I'm very happy to be talking to you, and also you confirm my suspicion that you just want to see me.
It's true.
Pink eye, like that's like so predictable, you know, like when like things are going wrong, daycare calls about pink eye, you know.
Oh my god, it's so true. And it's so, I don't get to talk to a lot of the parents in Charlie's class, but I'm one of my very good friends whose child is also in Charlie's class, like we were just laughing about it because they both got sent home for pink eye. Yeah, it's just, you know, it's like, children are fucking disgusting. You can only get pink eye from like poop particles.
Well, they also have viral pink eye, which you can also get.
Yes, which is probably what Charlie has, because it cleared up like almost immediately. But yeah, it's just so funny to it's just so funny to me. Also, because his face was like literally in my entire family's face after my dad's funeral. So nobody's reported to me that they've gotten pink eye since, but we'll see.
So Sheena has never had pink eye, but since she's been in daycare, me and Spencer have both got it. Like, she passed it on to us without her.
Right, skip degenerate.
Yeah. So I have had pink eye. I had like bacterial once and then the viral once, which apparently viral pink eye is like big right now.
Yeah. So I was looking on the pediatricians, like our pediatrician puts like things that are going around on their site, and it's like pink eye RSV, croup. And COVID. So that's that's
such a depressing newsletter. Here's what's gross at daycare right now. So not to totally change the subject, but there is one thing I want to talk about before we talk about the episode. One of our listeners, Tasha, shout out to Tasha. She's also got a great Instagram. You should follow her at Peggy Guggenheim. She's very, very funny. She's very cool. She does like art restoration. Cool. Don't quote me on that, but she's very cool. She sent me a question that like three episodes ago that I forgot to answer. So I feel like we should answer that because we're always asking people to send us stuff.
Absolutely.
Okay, let me look at the actual question. I wrote down what it's about, but let me actually, I should have pulled this up before, but let me actually read what she actually said in the question.
Thank you, Tasha, for actually writing to us.
I know, I really, she's great. I've known her for like, I've known Tasha since probably I was 23 or 24. Oh, and amazing. When I first met her, I hope she won't be mad at me for saying this about her. But like, she didn't live in New York, and like, I was like friends with all her friends.
Uh-huh.
And like, everyone talked about her like she was the most amazing person in the world, to the point where I was like intimidated by her because like a guy I had a crush on used to date her. Like, other people I know used to date her. I was like, oh my God, she sounds like the cool. And she is very cool. But that was like my first impression of her, was like as this like mysterious woman who I only heard about through rumors.
That's so funny, because my friend Amanda Booth, who I don't know if I've talked about it on the pod, but we've definitely talked about offline. It was the same thing where, like, she was in Korea when, like, I started hanging out with her other friends. And, yeah, she was just, like, this mysterious person that, like, everybody was like, oh, my God, Amanda.
Yes, totally. And Amanda, now I feel like I like stalk Amanda because she's like your good friend, and I follow her on Instagram, and I feel like I know all the stuff about her. Yeah. Maybe one day I'll meet her and I'll feel the same way.
Oh, it's so funny too, because the reason why I knew of her and this group of friends was one of my best friends in college, and he knew her from high school. And he was like, oh, you and Amanda won't be friends. And now she's like one of my best friends. So
typical hater, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so here's Tasha's questions. She says, I'd love to hear more about how the cooking shows and reality shows are generally filmed. I'm always confused about the interviews that are edited within a challenge. Do you pause to talk about what is happening while cooking, or do you have to speak about it later and pretend it's in real time?
Ooh.
And if the latter, then how do you keep your emotions together if you did poorly in a challenge? Okay, so great question.
Excellent question.
I wondered this. And here's the thing, is that we've talked before on the podcast, I think, about like the fairness in reality TV, or fairness in Game Show Act, or whatever that thing is called. And that, I think, makes a difference. Because I think a show with a cash prize has to do this differently than a show that's like The Bachelor, like The Bachelor, which I love. Uh-huh. And like, I'm assuming like Love is Blind and those shows too, that like don't have a cash prize. Mm-hmm. They are, I think, do film the interviews, like they call them ITMs in the moment.
Okay.
Uh-huh. And I think they do film them in the moment. Like they like say, like, I need to pull you for a minute and like pull you aside and like things still go on. In the show that I was on, and I believe this is how they do it on other shows, though I don't know for sure, is what we did was we would have a day of filming and then the next day would be interview day. Mm. So all the interviews happen the next day after everything happened. So, but one thing you had to do is you had to bring a shirt that was your interview shirt. So you would wear that same shirt in every interview. So they like could like splice it together and there wouldn't be continuity problems. So like I was always wearing this like this blue shirt with a little bow. That was my interview shirt. And yeah, so what they would do is they would, you have to say everything present tense, and they do that like leading question interview thing where they're like tell us what you did in this challenge with the beef, and you just say, in the challenge with the beef, I did, you know, or I am, whatever. Like you have to like repeat the sentence in your interview. And it was like a long thing where they would like talk about like everything that happened. And I think like that's how, when she asked like how you like contain your emotions, I think because you're going through like every second of the day, you're not like crying because you're like, oh, I lost, you know, because you're just like, and what were you doing at the beginning of the challenge? Yeah. And you're like, so I'm chopping my onion, and you know, so it's like, you're not, I feel like that's like why you can't like, that's like why people aren't like giving it away with like being already upset or whatever, because they're like, you're going through so much stuff that you're like, not like thinking about the end at the beginning or whatever.
Did they prompt you like, because okay, I think about this, maybe like if I was your age when you did Worst Cooks, that would be easy for me, but like now as a mom of two and my brain is like mush always, like I don't know if I would actually remember every little detail from the day before.
No, they will definitely tell you if what you like. I definitely at times when I was like, oh, what happened? And they will like, they know exactly what, they basically know what exactly what they want you to say.
Right.
And like they want you to like give it color. But yeah, no, they will tell you if you forget something or you forget something out of order or whatever. So yeah, so to answer your question, Tasha, they do not happen at the same time. I don't, but like it was the next day always. And like the interview days were the times where we could like rest a little bit because like if there's 12 people, they have 12 people doing interviews and you're doing it for like, you know, an hour or whatever. And then other people are going. So like you have like all the rest of that time to like, that's when I watched the movie, The Italian Job, 100 times. That was one of the only movies that we had in the little condo they had.
Oh, no, they only had, like, 3 movies or something?
Well, I mean, I guess they had, like, they probably had maybe 10, but, like, there was, like, a few that we just, like, wanted to watch, you know? And we watched The Italian Job so many times. Because, you know, like, a heist movie, it's good, you know?
It's a great movie.
I don't remember it at all now, except, like, of course, like, the Mini Coopers, you know, in Italy. Yeah. but we watched it so much. But yeah, so Tasha, I hope that answers your questions. We should have Tasha on at some point. I don't know what to talk about, but to talk about something, maybe she'll I'd recap something. Tasha, DM us if you hear this and you want to come on the podcast. Yeah.
We'll make you work for it, but
yeah, you got to watch something weird. like we did with Sophie and the cooking show. And I mean the Christmas movie. Okay, so are you ready to dive into Worst Cooks episode 2?
Let's absolutely do it. I had to watch this episode twice because I took an edible before the first time and fell asleep like 10 minutes in after I just was just like, what is happening?
Well, I'm glad you watched it twice because my notes are a little bit all over the place because I watched this. You know, we had the long weekend for Martin Luther King Day, and I watched this on Monday during the day when, like, Sheena was home, and so on Monday during the day, I was like, okay, I'm gonna, like, cook a pot roast, which was
nice.
Great.
Excellent.
I did, yeah, I gotta put that in the show notes, because I did the it was the Barefoot Contessa company pot roast recipe. Oh,
perfect.
So yeah, it was great. It was like a perfect thing for like a cold day. And I was like talking to Sheena. I'm like, oh, Sheena. I thought like, oh, Sheena can watch Worst Cooks with me. So I was like, Sheena, like, do you want to watch a cooking show? Mm-hmm. And I was like, she was like, yes, I want to watch a cooking show. So I was like getting the pot roast started and she was screaming, I want to watch a cooking show. And then she is three. She did not do a great job watching it, but mm-hmm. like since she was like with me, it made it a little complicated for me.
Yeah.
So like I think she liked it, but also it's too much for her, you know?
Yeah.
To like, yeah. But she does. Do your kids like cooking shows?
So Charlie is really into Waffles and Mochi, which uh-huh. does have like some cooking segments on it. Uh-huh. But it's made for kids, so it's like obviously more palatable for him, you know, like there's puppets and stuff. So
yeah.
But I haven't really tried. I really do want to try because I feel like that's something that it's something that John and I watch together, so it'd be nice to like pass it on to Charlie as well.
Well, may I recommend Sheena loves Kids Baking Championship.
Ooh.
And Chop Junior. She nice. Likes it when there's kids in the show, you know?
Perfect. Like her, yeah, that's yeah. a good idea.
So, like, the kids ones are not my favorite because I'm like, these kids are not doing a good job.
Yeah. Also, like, kid actors. Like, there's so many of those kid actor kids that are on those shows that are so annoying.
I know. So, I'm kind of like, sure, it's impressive these kids can do this, but, like, I want to watch the real chefs, you know? Yeah. That's like, but with Sheena, I will watch it, and she like, really likes it.
Chopped Kids, I will watch. Chopped Teens and Chopped College, I will not watch.
Oh yeah, the college ones are always the teens and the college ones are always really, really bad. And you always feel so bad for the teens because there's always like the people who win the teen ones are always like super rich.
Yep.
And there's always like the poor kid who's like, I need this money or I can't go to college. and then the winner is like the Jewish American princess from the Upper East Side.
Yep.
Who's like, I'm competitive. My parents taught me how to cook and I mean it, you know? And
that's a really good impression, actually. Like, I picture, like, I just had like three different Chopped episodes, like, flat before my eyes.
Exactly. And you want like the kid who's like, you know, like, he's like, I have a single mom. I like need, you're like, oh, like, you should win. But
right.
They don't do it based on that.
No.
Which I think they should. What did you think about this episode?
I thought it was so much fun. Truly, everybody, I think, shined in a way that, like, you know, we saw a little bit in the first episode, but, like, we can talk about this later, but, like, I loved, like, Dr. Avi just like completely like not understanding and like then saying that like he didn't want to whip the cream too much because he didn't want to like mess up his hair.
Yeah.
Like it's just like perfect. I don't know. It's just good TV. You know?
Also, we should mention that we posted our first recap on and we posted on Instagram, tagged everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And now we're like interacting with a lot of these people.
Yeah. So, and I just want to like shout out to everybody on this cast. They're so friendly and so much fun. So thank you.
Yeah. Like we were saying like, oh, like this person's so cool. And then they were all like, oh my God, thank you. So that, shout out. Yeah.
Yeah.
Shout out to Carrington and Michaela, who like shared a bunch of our shit, you know? So
yeah.
Aww. Yeah, it was very cool. So we're very excited to watch the rest of the season with you all. But anyway, it starts out, they're doing culinary cadets. It's like real boot camp, quote unquote. And I have to say, rest in peace, Kathy, but Tiffany looks hot in her army green jumpsuit.
Fuck yeah. Dude, we got to have Kathy on.
Yeah.
Because I feel like whenever somebody meets someone that I am like kind of attracted to in the celebrity space. I'm always like, my first question is, what do they smell like?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You just like want, like, especially celebrities, like, I feel like they smell so different than us, like, normies. Like, mm-hmm. they just like smell put together. So, yeah, that's just like, I have to ask Kathy that.
Yeah, so just for recapping that, so last episode, Kathy said that Tiffany was hot. We were like, was that queer? Was it not? And Kathy DM'd us and was like, it was very queer.
Yeah.
So we have confirmation. So, yeah, so we were sad we were robbed of that flirtation. It would have been mm-hmm. fun to see, but now mm-hmm. she is gone. So yeah, so they're doing like this, like they're calling it Mise en Place Major, mm-hmm. and it is like a boot camp thing, but it's like also like the Mise en Place Challenge in Top Chef, mm-hmm. you know, but like a little bit worse cooks themed.
Mm-hmm.
So they have to do dice shallots, chiffonade basil, peel garlic. They have to do all those things, and it's like a relay race, and they have to do jumping jacks. And that one, so it's like whoever wins is going to win the red, like they win medals, and then one team will win an advantage. So the red team wins first. Next one is what you're talking about, the Whisking Warriors.
Mm-hmm.
And they have to do an obstacle course and bring the cream back to whip. And it's Sirius versus Avi, and this is what you were talking about. Where Sirius was so fast.
So fast. But you can tell, like, Sirius is a fast person. Like,
yes.
They have the fast energy.
And, like, also, like, the very competitive, for
yeah.
sure.
Yeah.
And Sirius won.
Mm-hmm.
The next is the plating challenge, which is Erica versus Costa, and Costa's on the blue team with Tiffany, and Erica's on the red team, and Tiffany is like, I'm screwed.
Yeah.
Look at Erica. She yeah. knows how to present something.
Right.
Which I did like that. And then later in the episode, Chef Anne like says that to Erica when her plate's messy. She's like, obviously, like, she's like, you can like do makeup, you can like put things nicely on a plate, basically.
Right.
You know? Which is true. I would mm-hmm. never have thought about that, but it's all just like arranging things nicely, right?
Right.
So yeah. And yeah, Erica does. I saw someone on Facebook. I'm in the Worst Cooks Facebook group. And you know, like, I should never go on Facebook because there's always the worst people. But people were like, what if Erica's nails get in the food? And I'm just like, there's like people, like, I don't know. It's like, I think that people are just like, so like, people want to be haters and like they see someone who looks cool, you know?
Right. Right. And also, like, doesn't that make good TV if Erica
yeah.
her nails fall into it? Like,
yeah,
just relax.
I know, exactly. So, but I love her. I love her nails and
mm-hmm.
all of her sparkles.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. But in this challenge, Costa doesn't have his glasses. He can't see anything.
Yeah. And the whole thing is a sight challenge.
I know. I feel like Costa was really set up to lose this episode. Yeah. You know, this is like his beginning of the loser edit.
Yeah. Although for a second there, you know, they like slightly gave Carrington like a
yes.
couple of bumps of it. And I was just so upset because that's our girl.
I felt like I was positive Carrington would not go home. I just felt like that you can tell that like she has like the producers like her, you know,
yes.
like she's getting like that kind of like she's getting a lot of screen time. So yeah. I was confident she would stick around. And then when Erica wins the challenge, she twerks.
Yeah.
Which I would like to see again. So
yes.
Erica, post the video.
Yeah.
And then they have to mash potatoes and like taste to make sure they get them right. And that's so funny that both sides thought there was buttermilk in the mashed potatoes.
Yeah.
I don't think, but is buttermilk like a normal mashed potato topping? I don't think so.
So.
Right?
Okay, I don't know about you, but when I was growing up, I felt like all the like TV dinners and stuff, like, they made it a point to say buttermilk mashed potatoes.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I guess it makes sense. Like, yeah. I think of buttermilk chicken, but I guess yeah. it makes sense. Yeah. But I, like, would never think to put buttermilk in mashed potatoes now.
I do it if it's, so we make the buttermilk chicken recipe from, my God, I'm blanking on her name. Salt, acid, fat.
Yeah, you've told me about this before, and I want to make it.
Yeah. And so sometimes we have, like, a leftover little bit of buttermilk that will,
yeah,
will just use it to moisten instead of just regular milk,
uh-huh,
so we don't waste the milk.
Uh-huh. Okay, yeah. So, but I just thought that was a funny thing. So, like, they were both sure with it.
Yeah.
And the blue team wins that one. And mm-hmm. the next one, they have to taste test canned goods. It's Jesse versus Michaela. And Michaela can't use the can opener.
Which, but I will say, her like, hack,
yes,
is pretty smart.
It was smart, but also I feel like she gave up too quickly with the can opener. Yeah. Like, I feel like she could have done it a little bit more.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was, and then Jesse won because she could, I feel like she didn't get enough on her spoon. Right. But yeah, so Jesse won that one. And so I think the red team won. My notes are not good. I think the red.
Now I'm like, I don't remember.
Oh, yes. Red team won. Sorry. Yeah. Red team won the head start advantage.
Mm-hmm.
So they have their ingredients already at their station, which is like a funny thing for it to be like the red team won because they are not competing against the blue team in the rest of the
right. show.
Yeah. So the first thing they're making is chicken paillard. Which they say is like a very standard thing to make when you're learning how to cook.
Mm-hmm. I love a chicken paillard.
It's delicious, and I would eat both of those. I love about this yeah. show how like both the chefs like make like their own version. So it's like
yeah.
two different versions of a thing.
Yeah.
It's not exactly the same. So it's like two recipes. Anne's has asparagus and Tiffany's has radicchio salad.
Mm-hmm.
Like Tiffany is teaching pickled onions, Anne is teaching tomatoes con casse, and Joelle is very confused by the frisée and the radicchio.
Yeah.
He's like, freaking, he's like, "What? What are those?"
But I do like his little ways of remembering. Like frisée is frisée hair.
Yes. I mean, it is, I've always thought that about frisée. It's like, it just, it looks like it's called frisée.
Right. You know, like, yeah. Yeah. It makes, like, it's very apropos.
Yeah, it makes sense. And this is the beginning of Frankie's tomato problems, which he has the whole episode, mm-hmm. Where he's messing it up and Anne is yelling at him to get another tomato. He's freaking out. And was Evie, sorry?
I don't remember your season, but was Anne that, like, I feel like she was, like, very tough lovey in this episode more than normal.
She was very scary. And I feel like I was, like, the least scared of her because she, like, obviously liked me. But also yeah. She would really yell. She would definitely yeah. really yell. Yeah. And so, yeah. Then Steve can't find an onion.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so basically they all do pretty well. In Anne's, Avi has raw chicken.
Mm-hmm.
And that's like a whole thing with Avi. He's like he's like slow all the time.
Yeah.
And
he's very, like, California.
He's very California, and he's also like making an excuse, you know, right. like for the, and that's like, he definitely like, I feel like he was like, oh, it just happened that it was so raw. But like it was, he was just going super slow.
I have a question for you. So I might have missed something, but the first episode, he said he was a doctor. And then
yes.
this one, his chiron said investment banker.
What?
Yeah. So. Huh.
That must have been a mistake, right? Because I feel like that he's like, okay, here. Let me see. I'm Googling something. My internet's going slow. But I feel like on his Instagram, he's a doctor. And he seems like a... Okay, that's a different... Okay, this is a different Dr. Avi. Let me try again. There's a Dr. Avi who is a dentist mm-hmm. who is really famous on YouTube, it looks like. Well, not that famous, but... His Instagram handle is dravi.ac. Okay, so he says Dr. Avi, actor, fitness, travel, food, TV personality, actor, model, dad. So I guess he's not a doctor, but he says he's Dr. Avi. I guess he's fitness. I have no, so we have to get to the bottom of this is what the doctor is. Because he has a podcast where he talks about, it's Real Talk with Dr. Avi, and he talks about fitness. So I don't know if he is a doctor. I'm wasting a lot of time here being inconclusive, but it is not clear because his Instagram handle is Dr. Avi, but he lists himself as an actor.
Mm-hmm.
And he's definitely involved in fitness. And it looks like he has, okay, his link tree. He is a model and an actor. Okay. He has a link on here to his Food Network bio. I bet that will shed some light. This is a good question. What?
Okay. I found... So, it says he lives in Delaware, which I thought he was California. And he's an investment banker at Morgan Stanley who has a doctorate in business admin. Okay.
Okay. So, he's a... Okay, because I feel like he was presenting himself with the fitness stuff as a medical doctor.
Yeah, yeah.
But and he has a PhD, and then he... Okay.
And then he also owns a barber shop.
Not that there's anything wrong with calling yourself a doctor when you're a PhD. We stan our PhD doctor friends.
Yeah.
But I do feel like that he kind of misrepresented himself.
Yeah.
Because he definitely was giving like health and wellness doctor vibes, you know?
Right.
But, okay. Well, anyway, Dr. Avi, sorry for being confused by what you do if you are listening. And he's got a lot of followers. He has. So when we looked all these people up on Instagram, we realized that a lot of them are like already kind of influencers. Like, not all of them, but some of them have like 20,000 followers and stuff.
Yeah.
With EB being the most famous, EB, the Nepo baby, EB.
Yeah.
So after the skills challenge, on the red team, the winner is Erica. And on the blue team, the winner is Michaela. And they each get 100 chef bucks. And using these chef bucks, they can buy advantages in different challenges mm-hmm. with different amounts. I would hate that. Like, I would be so stressed out to like use my chef bucks at the wrong moment.
Yep.
Not use them when I should have.
Yep.
I feel like it's like would make me more stressed than happy to have chef bucks.
Totally.
And I think I would hoard them and then get eliminated and have them all left.
Yeah.
Did you ever you watched Top Chef Canada, right? Like a season or two?
Yeah.
There was a guy who won an immunity, and he had to choose when he would get to choose when he would use it. But he like had to declare that he was using it like before he knew if he's getting eliminated, and he never used it. And then he got eliminated, and
no!
he could have used his immunity. Yeah, he could have used his immunity, but he was trying to save it, and he never used it. Yeah, I know. So that's what would happen to me with the chef box.
Yeah, before. That's heartbreaking.
So for the main dish, they're making a lamb curry.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like this was unexpected, and I thought it was cool that they were doing this.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like, you know, that it would have normally been a later dish.
Well, I feel like that, you know, Chef Anne is known for, like, more Italian type stuff. You know, not that she can't cook other things, obviously, but, like, a lamb curry is more like Tiffany's wheelhouse, in my opinion. So I was very interested to see that. And also... I really, this was like, a much harder curry than I know how to make. Like, I have never, this is embarrassing, but I've, like, never toasted or ground my own spices. Like, I would definitely use a spice blend if I was doing this.
Totally. I used to do the grinder thing. I have, when my grandmother passed, she had this, like, cute little mustard yellow grinder that must be like 50 years old, that she used for coffee. But I was like, I'll just use this because I already had a coffee grinder. I was like, I'll just use this as my spice grinder. And I used to do that, but I think that was like before becoming a mom.
So. No, and you still had time to carefully grind your spices and everything.
Right. Yeah.
So they're each cooking these lamb dishes. Tiffany's uses a pressure cooker. Anne says not. One of my favorite moments was when Steve says Anne did a technique that he uses all the time, tossing mm-hmm. everything in a pan and cooking it. And Anne is like, no. And she gets so pissed at him because he was not paying attention at all.
No.
And we get this Chelsko storyline on the blue team where she doesn't eat rice because it's carbs,
mm-hmm.
but she cooks rice for her dog all the time.
Yeah.
And the producer is like, well, I thought you said you don't have any time to cook. And she's like, oh, I make time for my dog.
And I do know a ton of people like that, and I applaud them because pets deserve everything in the world.
Yes. It is sweet to think that she makes rice for her dog.
Yeah.
And also, they're making rice this challenge, and as is famous on cooking shows, rice is really hard to make. So I yeah. feel like that's like a hard thing to do. It's very easy to mess up.
Yes.
And Chelsko has her advantage.
Yeah.
On the blue team, Evie has a messy bowl, but it tastes good. Sirius mm-hmm. needed more sauce. Costa's looks wrong. And okay, so Costa just didn't make the recipe at all. And I don't feel like that they like showed us this as it was happening.
Right.
Like, he just like shows up and he's like, oh, I made Mexican curry.
Yeah. Like, which sounds delightful. I mean, I'm interested to see what he did.
Well, Tiffany said it tasted good. She's like, yeah. It tastes good, but it's not the dish that I made.
Yeah.
Stacey's was pretty good and Chelsko had good rice.
Mm-hmm.
Joelle did not have enough chutney. On the red team, Avi's was better than expected and Erica's was too spicy, and she said it's because she's from New Orleans. Which is
fair.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And this is where my notes stopped, because this is where Sheena really threw a fit. But the moral of the story is Steve went home and Costa went home.
Yeah.
And I feel like if anyone had to go, those two made sense. Like, I would have been really depressed if Carrington or Michaela yeah. or a few other people went home. And I feel like Steve was obviously not going to last, right?
No. And I honestly, though, I was like kind of pissed that, because you knew Steve was not going to last.
Yes.
And like, they sacrificed Kathy.
And Elena. Also loved. Yeah.
For Steve, who seems like a great magician.
Yeah. I mean, he definitely does seem like a good magician. Like, he'd be like a funny guy to see do magic at a restaurant. I get it. But he was like not even trying really with the cooking.
No.
But one thing that I like about this show at this stage is that like we're past the stage where people are trying to be bad. And mm-hmm. you see, like, everyone trying and, like, making, like, relatable cooking mistakes, you know?
Yes.
And it's like, yeah, like, people are going too slow. We're like, how many times has a recipe taken you way longer than you thought? You know,
right.
It's just, like, all this stuff that's, like, very relatable. And it's like people really do have to, like, learn these things.
Yeah.
Which, obviously, I remember because I had to learn a lot.
Yeah.
So I thought it was good. I'm looking forward to the next episode.
One thing I also want to say, though, it's so funny to me that and this is going to sound so millennial, and I'm so sorry, but like,
it's okay.
Like, Evie's outfit just like made me have like terrible flashbacks of my high school days.
Oh, like, she's wearing like the baggy jeans, right?
She was wearing the baggy jeans, like the like kind of like UFO kind of pants. And I just kept thinking to myself, like I think about like a bar setting wearing those pants and like having the bottoms of it drag and like
I know
like get all wet and stuff, and I'm like, oh, this seems like so bad for cooking. Like, don't make these mistakes, we've made them for you.
Well, how old is EB
here? Let's see.
32. She's 32, so she okay. is, she's age.
Yeah, so she's like
a young millennial.
Yeah. Cusp.
She's cuspy millennial, but she's still a millennial. But yeah, she definitely. But I do feel like that look, like the bringing the big jeans back look, is like very in with like a very like high fashion crowd.
Totally.
That doesn't compute for me.
Right. Well, it's just like it's so. I don't know. I just like, especially now that it's winter, I like think about how the many years of trudging through snow in those pants, yes, and having them get wet up into my thighs.
I did not have like those style of pants, but what I did have around that time was, uh-huh, I had like the parachute style pants.
Oh yeah. Uh-huh.
That was like my version of what I had. And I remember doing like wearing those those pants to this like talent show where me and my friend tried to do like a sexy genie in the bottle dance.
Nice. Nice.
We were like, we were at this Jewish retreat. Me and my friend Randy, we didn't know anyone. We were trying to impress the boys.
Of course.
So we did a dance to Genie in the Bottle. And yeah. I think it worked, you know. And I think that they did think that we were, you know, we were like, you know, shaking our hips, etc. What's the line? It's like shaking, whatever. I don't know. Genie in the Bottle lyrics. But that don't mean I'm gonna give it away, baby, 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 baby. Okay, you're licking your lips and blowing kisses my way.
Oh, but that, yeah,
don't mean I'm gonna give it away, you know. Okay. Anyway. So Debbie, mm-hmm, what did you have for dinner tonight? Are you eating?
I am eating. John prepped everything, which was awesome. Like, we had some trout from the farmer's market. Great. Like, it was super easy and super simple. And he cut up cauliflower, and we had some radishes in the fridge that we needed to use up. And we roasted them, and then I just made like a tarragon and Dijon vinaigrette to go with it.
Sounds delicious. Sounds great.
It was really good and kind of perfect. And, you know, like, the cooking for me right now is like really helpful. It's the cleaning up. Famously, I cannot do when I'm depressed and when I'm not depressed. So,
yeah. You should get someone to come in and do a cleaning for you.
Yeah, maybe that's what I'll ask when people ask me, like, what.
You should definitely ask for. I mean, it's the best.
Yeah.
We started doing that just once a month because I'm just bad at cleaning always. And
yeah,
I didn't like fighting about it with.
Yeah,
I didn't want to ever like get like, you know, like have Spencer be mad at me or me be mad at him. So we just said, let's just pay someone once a month to come in, and it makes a big difference. That's you know, hashtag privilege or whatever. But
but it's true, too. It's like just to have someone come in and see things in your house that you see every day and maybe not notice, like,
yes,
you know, dust here. And
I mean, like, they don't, like, this person doesn't like organize my bookshelf or whatever, but they just, like, you know, like, clean the floors better than I would, you know, and like that kind of stuff. So
totally.
What did you
have?
I had still leftovers from the company pot roast.
Nice.
Tonight I had made these like melting potatoes.
Ooh.
You know those things, like roasted melting potatoes?
Yeah.
So that was really good, but we ran out of those. So tonight I made egg noodles, which is like my go-to for leftovers of anything stewy.
Yeah.
And we didn't have a lot of the meat left, but like we had a lot of the gravy that was really, really good.
Perfect. So,
and then we also had leftovers over the weekend. We went to Dominic's on Arthur Avenue.
Nice.
Well, it was kind of a bummer because, so I've been going there literally since I was like a baby. Like my grandfather used to take me there. To Dominic specifically, I always get pasta with butter sauce.
Mm-hmm.
And like he was a pediatrician and he like delivered a lot of the babies on Arthur Avenue. It was like everyone knew him. It was like a whole thing. I know. It was like for me as like a little kid, it was like he got like the big welcome, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
So we went there and I've been there since a few times. We went there this weekend and they put down a menu and we're like, what? Because the thing about Dominic's is they don't have a menu.
Right.
Is they like, you know, they just come up to you and they like tell you like five things and you're like, oh yeah, I'll have a couple of those.
Right.
And so we were kind of like, oh, that's weird. And we asked them about it and they said after COVID, like people would get like mad. They didn't have a menu. So they started having one.
That's so weird.
But yeah, it made us like a little bummed out. But anyway, we got brujol.
Yeah.
And we had some leftover brujol.
Nice.
So we like mixed that in with our leftover pot roast.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was kind of a bummer. If anyone has like a favorite Arthur Avenue restaurant, DM me, please, because I want to try more Arthur Avenue restaurants.
Yeah, I feel like I never go up there, even though I should.
It's really fun, I think.
Yeah.
And it's not far, you know, like for us, it's not bad.
Yeah.
But Dominic's was like my go-to, but now we're like kind of like disenchanted because they have a menu now. Enzo's that we've been to before was also good, but I'm like curious about the other places, but there's so many. I want someone to tell me which one is good. It's like, I don't go there often enough to just try everything, you know?
Right.
So.
There's also that place in Corona that's near the
Parkside.
Yeah.
Parkside is so good.
It's so good. And I keep trying to think, like, I keep thinking about taking John there and never remembering to, like, actually do it.
And Parkside, you need a reservation.
Right.
It's like, Parkside is so cool. In Parkside, they have the bread basket has stromboli in it.
I mean, yeah.
Like the free bread basket just has like pieces of like pepperoni and like it, you're like, what is going on here?
It's a perfect place. And then like especially going there during the summer because you get like you go to the Lemon Ice King
right next door
first, and then you go get your restaurant, and then if you don't feel like any of the amazing desserts at Parkside, you can go back to Lemon.
See, this is a real Queens podcast where you talk about Parkside and the Lemon Ice King of Corona, famous Queens restaurants.
Yep.
Okay, so unless you have anything else, that's all I have, Debbie.
That's all I got. You are listening. Rate and post and DM and
give us a review on iTunes, share our memes to your Instagram story, follow us on Instagram if you do not, and you know, say a little Kaddish for Debbie's dad.
Yes, please do. If we're gonna go with the theme of the podcast, I recommend warming up a black and white cookie in the microwave on 10 seconds and putting Chex on top. And if you're more than stoned, putting pancake syrup on top of that and eating it with a teeny tiny fork. That was like his dessert special. So
wow, that is, I can't believe you never told me that before. That's amazing.
Yeah. But it, you know, it was always like after he had like a joint before, you know, and then he would like go down 10 seconds microwave black and white checks pancake syrup.
Oh, wow.
I personally do not like the pancake syrup, but the checks on the
yeah, the syrup sounds like a lot, but the check, the crunchy and the soft sounds great. That sounds really great.
Yeah. Highly recommend. So
okay, well, thank you for sharing that. Yeah. I feel like it's beautiful. And now should we say that it's time for us to pack our knives and go.